countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
This week, the Environmental Protection Agency predicted that emissions from agriculture will increase in the coming years with the increase in dairy cow numbers in this country. Agriculture accounts for over a third of Ireland's total greenhouse gas emissions, which figures since it is indeed our largest indigenous industry compared to other countries. Globally intensive agriculture production combined with deforestation to make way for intensive beef and soybean farming, mainly in South America, they're cited as the big contributors to global warming. But in Ireland, just how intensive are individual farms at a micro level? Well, with me in studio now is Michael Wallace, who's Professor of Agriculture and Food Economics at UCD. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. We'll talk about the intensification of farming in a moment, but just can you paint a picture first, Michael? How many farms are there in Ireland, and what's the average size of these holdings?
Yeah, okay. So the Central Statistics Office produces data on this from their farm structure survey, and that indicates that we have about 137,000 holdings with an average size of about 32 hectares. That's about 80 acres. And interestingly, only about less than 5% farm over 100 hectares, in other words, 250 acres.
So 95% of Irish farms are less than
100 hectares or 250 acres.
Okay. So it, by European terms, would they be quite small?
It's on par with the European average, actually. Yeah. So it's in line with that. But I think that the picture that we have here really, you know, is a farm structure characterized by family farming businesses, and many of them are operating at relatively small scale.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering how many of those farms are fully dependent on what's going on the farms?
Yeah. So the National Farm Survey, the Chagas National Farm Survey, produced a lot of data on, particularly on farming incomes, and their recent estimates were out last week. So that's a useful source that gives us some indication on this. Now, that survey mainly concentrates on slightly larger farms, so the farms that the sample includes farms that are above 8,000 standard output. So some of the very small units are not included.
Yeah.
But within that, we find about 50, just over 50%. Of holdings have an off-farm job, either with the farm operator or spouse working off-farm.
Some other form of income coming
exactly
into the house.
Right. And within, you know, if we look at just, to say, the operator, the figure is about a third across the sample of farms.
Okay, so about 3 in 10 farms are fully dependent, running the households, making a living from farming and nothing else.
So one third of operators have an off-farm job. So about two thirds full time, one third okay. would be part time on that.
And they
basis.
Would be mainly beef farmers and sheep farmers who.
Yes, it would be
would have
much, of course,
farm.
Much higher levels of off-farm employment among the beef farms, which tend to be smaller, and obviously much less so with enterprise. Prices like dairying. The other kind of interesting thing that that data shows is that almost 30% of those farm families, either the operator or the spouse, has pension. So it gives some indication about age distribution as well.
Well, just on that age profile, it seems high. Are we above European or global averages?
So I suppose it's easiest to compare to European averages, and actually in that context, we're right at the average level for Europe. So our average farmer, if we can call an average farmer, about 57 years of age. And again, the CSO data, if we look at that, it shows about 55% of our farmers are over 55 years of age, and about 5% less than 35 years of age. So it gives you an idea. Yeah.
Has that always been sort of the case? You know, when you look at old footage of farmers in Ireland back in the 60s and 70s, they always looked old, if you know what I mean. It's an older profession. Or is there a need for us to worry now at the level of successors coming through?
Well, I think there has been it's been a very, very gradual process. So what you're saying is in some respects correct, that the distribution has certainly for many years reflected an older profile, But there does seem to be a greying of the industry, older people, and a need for new blood to come in and help to rejuvenate. And that's why, you know, we look at the current reform of the Common Agricultural Policy, generational renewal is a key priority in there.
Yeah, and I think Phil Hogan has actually talked about a new retirement scheme in the new look cap. Michael, I just wanted to try and get a picture from you, because you have all the statistics there. We look at the overall contribution which agriculture makes to greenhouse gas emissions, and it paints farming in a fairly poor light. And the EPA this week saying, you know, those figures are only going to get worse. It's 30%, and the reason it's 30% in Ireland is because it's the biggest industry compared to other countries. Obviously, it's our biggest industry. So, but when I visit farms, or when I, you know, you meet a lot of farmers, they're scratching their heads because they're saying, you know, I'm not very intensive. You know, I don't have a lot of cows. You know, I look after the hedgerows. There's always, you know, flora and fauna running around. I have an old swamp where there's lots of biodiversity. There's not much more I can actually do. So as a collective, it's huge, one third. But at individual level, just how many farms, or can you quantify, where is the intensification, and, you know, how many Irish farms are probably falling way below, you know, the intensification of agriculture, if you know what I'm getting at.
I fear that in sometimes in the media coverage, there's a bit of an adoption of a narrative which often relates to conditions outside Ireland and don't actually reflect the reality of farming as I know it in Ireland. You know, we look at our farming systems, they're predominantly pastoral agriculture involving beef cattle, sheep, dairying. And you look at, you know, obviously the beef and sheep sectors in particular are predominantly the biggest group in terms of the numbers of farmers employed. And they operate actually very extensively. So the point that you made around, you know, farmers' perception of what they're doing actually is close to the reality. You know, you look at average stocking rates, they're actually very, very low.
In comparison to other countries?
Yeah, in comparison. So it's an extensive production system. And in dairying as well, I think, you know, while there are obviously higher stocking rates, and our stocking rates have started to increase somewhat over since quotas have been abolished, but even there, the actual average increase in stocking rate over the last 10 years has only been about 6%. And by international standards, we wouldn't be described as particularly even intensive there. So we have a landscape very much of pastoral systems.
Well, like, how many farms would there be in Ireland, dairy farms, with milking over 200, 300 cows? Or what's the average dairy herd size?
Yeah, so the average dairy herd size is now about 80 cows. That has been transformed really since the removal of quotas. We've seen a very rapid expansion, over a very short period of time. As you know, there's been that latent potential to expand if the industry has been constrained by quota for so long. So we've realised a lot of that potential fairly quickly, and we've seen quite a degree of expansion, particularly in the larger herd sizes above 100 cows. But even there, if you look at, say, numbers of, say, of herds above 500 cows, it's only a handful, you know. So we still have predominantly a relatively modest herd size by international standards. So we think, say, in New Zealand, the average dairy herd size in New Zealand is in excess of 400 cows now.
So it's five, six times the Irish. The Irish
size. And their stocking rates would be much higher than what we're using.
But we do know, coming down the road, there are going to be restrictions on, you know, on production. And the new Common Agricultural Policy, as it's been framed at the moment, will make farmers more accountable. You know, they won't get all their money unless they do more work to care for the environment. When you talk there about the fact that most Irish farms are not that intensive and are below the ceiling for the Nitrates Directive in terms of stocking per acre and all of that, it sounds that it will be relatively easy then for individual farms to actually readjust. In other words, if we have to reduce the herd, you know, it mightn't be that much of an adjustment for individual farms to make. It may sound like it as a collective, but at individual level, for example, if we do have to reduce the suckler herd by a certain percent, is it going to tax farmers that much, the majority of them?
The answer is no. If you think about in terms of the numbers of farms, again, we look at the dry stock sector, what kind of typical stocking rates we're looking at there. It's often below 1.5, average is below 1.5 livestock units per hectare. So under Nitrates Directive, It's two.
Right, so you can. The ceiling, can't go above is two livestock units per hectare.
Effectively. It's based
and
on
the majority of those are at 1.5.
Yeah,
okay.
It's based on our organic nitrogen of 170 kilograms per hectare, but effectively that's what it translates into a stocking density of about two. So, you know, the average beef or sheep unit is well below that. It does bite for dairy farms because, you know, an efficiently managed dairy farm targeting high levels of grass utilization, which they need to do for high levels of profitability, they're going to try for higher stocking rates. And you will find that for that category of farm, there are more that are right up at the 170 kg limit. And for some of them there, and there's about 7,000 farms in the country that are under derogation. So they basically under that, they can, provided they meet certain conditions, have a higher allowance of about 250.
Right. Okay, well, very briefly, Michael, we've about 30 seconds left. There is this fear of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. While obviously we have to tackle climate change, it's the big ticket item. Agriculture and these farmers, they make a big financial contribution to rural Ireland too.
They make a huge contribution. If we think about the numbers of people employed in the sector, they're both part-time and full-time. It's about 260,000 people. You know, it's a lot of people, family members that are working as well as employees on farms. And as well as that, you have to think about all the economic activity that generates as well for suppliers and for people downstream in the processing and retail sectors and everything else. So it makes an enormous contribution to the economy. And in addition to that, I think it has to be we have to understand the contribution they make to the social fabric of our rural communities and environment.
Right. It's a very delicate balancing act. So, Michael, thank you very much. We've run out of it. I think you've painted a good picture there, just that individual level. There's a big collective figure, but then an individual level, what's going on there. And it's something we'll come back to in the future. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
That's Michael Wallace there from UCD.